I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss the latest developments regarding Clayton Street and other T-SPLOS projects in general. That's next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Blake Aud with Flagpole, Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, and District 3 Commissioner Melissa Link. So thank you, everyone, for being here.
Thank you.
And we might as well start. I know we are talking about T-SPLOS projects, but we're going to start with the latest regarding Clayton Street in particular. And so I guess I'll have you start, Commissioner Melissa Link.
Yeah, we had a work session to talk about moving forward on Clayton Street. Of course, this is something that's been kicking around for, what, 6 or 7 years now?
The Oh, no, 2005.
More than that.
More than
yeah.
that. The re-streetscaping of Clayton Street. I guess 6 or 7 years ago is when there was a design process
right.
to
but it was
move the next phase.
Also, we have gone back.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't enough money to finish it. When the bids went out, they came in far over what money we had designated in SPLOS. So it's just been sitting there. And so now that T-SPLOS has passed, we have the funds to finish the job, to re-streetscape the entire length of Clayton Street. And this is the opportunity to talk about widening sidewalks and, you know, reconfiguring traffic lanes, reconfiguring parking, you know, really, really getting into the nitty-gritty of what we want to do to make that a really cool pedestrian thoroughfare and meet the needs of all the merchants and all the other businesses on Clayton Street and, you know, just make it a good public space in general. You know, we really don't have any public space in downtown Athens. So our streets and our sidewalks are our public space. And in last night's meeting, the decision was made to not seek any public input on that lane configuration, parking configuration, sidewalk width, that aspect of it. That's the decision we have to make first so work can begin. And staff had come to us with a timeline saying, okay, you know, here's our recommendations, here's some other scenarios. And, you know, we recommend, you know, we put this out for public input in early January to be voted on in February. And there were some feelings on the commission that, no, we want to get started now. We don't want to waste that 1 month. You know, we don't need public input for this aspect of it. I disagreed. I was the only one who disagreed. I have been in contact with several downtown business owners who are very interested in this project and have been for months and months. And they, you know, keep calling me and asking me about it, and you know, I'm like, okay, you know, you're going to hear about it. ADDA is going to contact you, and there's going to be public input. And lo and behold, that hasn't been the case. There hasn't been outreach to the businesses on Clayton Street. Maybe there are a select few, but not the 5 or 6 that I'm in regular contact with. I mean, this is the holidays. This is the busiest time of year for our merchants. I was able to get word out to a handful of them to let them know that this discussion was going to be had. Apparently, the ADDA did not let them know that the Mayor and Commission would be discussing this. And a couple of them made it, and they weren't real happy from what the conversation I had with them afterwards. Just that disdain for their opinion. And I don't know what to tell them. I mean, this is going to be on the agenda next week. On the agenda setting meeting and up for a vote on January 2nd over the holidays when nobody really is going to have the time to really rally and look into what this really means. Not only that, but all the bar owners shut down for those 2 or 3 weeks at Christmas time. They're not even around to offer input. So that's kind of what happened. Blake, was that your take on the situation? You were there.
Well, yeah, I think, that's all pretty accurate. The reason for fast-tracking this, though, is that the schedule that was that staff wanted to do, the work was going to take 2 football seasons. And that's obviously something that I can't imagine downtown merchants would really want, to have, you know, at least part of the street shut down during 2 consecutive football seasons. So, you know, the fast-tracking was to try to get it moved up to where, you know, it'll start this summer and then go through the fall and then be done by the time the football season of 2019 rolls around in August 2019. So if there was a way to get public input without drawing it out, you know, to take up two falls, I mean, I think that would be a great thing, but I don't know that that's possible. So that's kind of the trade-off that you're making
right
there.
I don't think that 1 month is going to have that much of that kind of an impact. And, you know, I had had a conversation with the manager a couple weeks ago when I had heard that this user group committee, including the ADDA directors and the chief of police and the fire chief and solid waste folks were meeting to begin to talk about this. And I was like, they really need to talk to the public before it comes to the mayor and commission. The mayor and commission needs to make their decisions based on, you know, some kind of public input. And that apparently didn't happen.
And one of your issues, Melissa, was, you know, you want parallel parking to be considered. And from what I understood from what staff said, you know, that could be considered at a later date. You know, what needed to be decided right away was just how wide the street was going to be,
yeah,
where the curb was going to be. And then you can talk about parallel parking versus back-end parking.
No, I mean, we have to decide the parking configuration now because that determines the width of the street.
I was going
to
say, yeah, that would be really
If you do
important.
Parallel parking, you get an extra, like, 6 or 8 feet out of the out of the sidewalk. And you
yeah,
know,
but how many parking spaces
that's
do you
That's the
lose?
Question. I mean, and the scenarios that they had presented us with were just, you know, all the same parking configuration along the entire corridor. I would like to see a discussion about, you know, what if we just do parallel parking on one side of the street on one block? Maybe we lose, you know, 8 or 10 parking spaces. The scenario that they presented was, you know, if you do parallel parking, you lose like 26 parking spaces or something.
I think per block.
Was it per block? I mean, what if we just did
it
on one block?
I've never heard a downtown merchant say, yes, please get rid of parking spaces.
I mean, I know there's, I mean, that's the thing.
I can't imagine public input would reveal that they want
somehow that changed
parking spaces.
Right.
Well, I mean, we gained about 75 parking spaces on Doherty Street. There's an opportunity to meter some parking in the vicinity of the Grit to see some design concepts and have that conversation about what is the greater good, losing, you know, 8 or 10 parking spaces and gaining this massive public space. I mean, you know, a block of Clayton Street could look like College Square. And, you know, one of the things that we've seen come out of the health and safety study is that there's this massive gathering on the sidewalks when the bars let out at night and for football games and festivals and things like that, and people are spilling into the streets. And I feel like, you know, if we really enhanced that block of Clayton Street and gave it that extra sidewalk width and extra cafe space and extra gathering space, not only would it accommodate that health and safety issue, but it would make for a really nice a public space overall and possibly diversify the businesses up there.
And what are you talking about which block?
The easternmost block. The block that's pretty much just a deserted wasteland during the day because it's all bars that don't open until 9 or 10.
The one toward Thomas.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
As you approach the Classic Center. Right now, people leaving the Classic Center have this, you know, big, long block of wasteland to navigate when they leave for lunch from those conferences.
Well, you know, when I went to the mayor's downtown design program in 1994 in preparation for the Olympics, so that's how old my information is, but to be honest, that's a lot of what went into the 2005 plan that was approved. That is old planning. That's old design. Let me just say this. One is, we don't have a pedestrian area really in our downtown. What we have is sidewalks. And Clayton, College Square, has always been a controversy because Marvin's wants people to be able to park, you know, and Starbucks and all of them. Well, that's just ridiculous. That's parallel parking. That's very few spaces. Mm-hmm. And that area is really would be a very safe thing for Broad. It would take away a lot of the problems on Broad on right turn and left turn out of College Square.
Well, what I've always heard with College, though, is the issue is not, I mean, of course, the parking, but that's not the biggest issue. The biggest issue would be there would be no way to go south and get onto Broad other than one lane of Jackson because, you know, and one lane of Hull because Lumpkin is one way going north.
Well, you're forgetting
and
Pulaski.
College is one way going south.
You're forgetting Pulaski. And Thomas but that's is all the a four-lane street.
Yeah,
Thomas
I sat on the practicum committee for the graduate student who did that aspect of the downtown master plan that included College Square. And he did an actual traffic study. And, you know, he presented three different scenarios for College Square. And what the traffic study found that was, yes, you know, that thoroughfare through College Square is absolutely necessary to keep traffic moving through downtown. Jackson Street and Wall Street couldn't handle that traffic.
And they shouldn't have to. Yeah. They are inferior streets. Both Jackson and Wall are inferior. Was made as, and that's not a very, you're only talking three blocks there, four blocks there.
Yeah, I mean, people could go all the way up to Thomas to make the turn.
It's three, yeah. I mean, what are we talking?
But then they have to turn again if they want to go down.
But, I mean, we're talking about people, you know, in Athens who have the attitude that, you know, if they can't park directly in front of the business they're going to downtown, then they're just not going to go.
Well, with that kind of attitude, you know, we have, our downtown is filled with parking decks that are, a couple of them are, you know, the county deck is pretty closed at night. I mean, you know, empty at night, et cetera. We have all those parking decks, and we're talking about not wanting to lose a couple of parking spaces on College Square.
I think it's silly, too, but that's the attitude of a lot
of
people.
And that's what a lot of the businesses, but the businesses have all, the only businesses that have objected to the closing of College Square are these those that are right there on it.
Well, you know, I've used the decks. They're pretty reasonable for parking decks, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, you can park a while and, you know, your total tally really isn't that high.
It's cheaper than the meters.
Yeah, one of the smartest things y'all did was lower it, raise it on street and lower it in the deck to kind of encourage people to get in there. And they're really very convenient.
They are very convenient.
And they're 30 minutes free.
My daughter loves them. You know, every time we pass a parking deck, she wants to go park in it. She thinks they're so cool. You know, she's 3 years old.
Wow, that's great.
You get to,
that is
she gets
sweet,
to press the button on the elevator.
And we're getting some cool art in the stairwell of the
That's right. Yeah, putting in art. But the other thing is that we really need to start recognizing that a lot of the users of downtown that are young, and that's going to be a large number because of the downtown high density downtown, a lot of those young people are from Atlanta. They are used to much higher parking rates, much farther walking for shopping. They are also, are you ready for this? Those kids are used to paying much higher fines on their parking and on their violations. And so we're in a situation to where, to them, it's easy. It's cheap to get caught for the parking violations.
And now we're not even taking into account all the parking spaces that are in the core of all the giant high-rises.
Right.
There's 1.5 parking spaces per bedroom in most of those buildings. And, you know,
now,
of course,
those public parking?
No, but their friends can park there.
Oh. Yeah,
you know,
and they're high. Again, so, those are going to be the users.
Yeah, so if you want to hit the town at night and you have a friend who lives in Georgia Heights.
If we're talking about making downtown a pedestrian-friendly area, then we've got to close out some areas and create some green spaces that are amenable to people. You're right, that first block of Clayton coming from Thomas is a dearth lane, but it has a great potential, and all of that potential comes if people are moving past it. Right now, they're only moving past half of Clayton sometimes.
And you get, I mean, I've read a lot of studies of this effect. You know, you get more business when there's foot traffic past your business. It's not about the cars.
That's right.
You know, you actually benefit when the cars park further away because then you get more people on foot walking past and they're more likely to stop in, window shop, see something,
and
pop into the store when they're on foot than if they're in a car.
And we complain that, you know, we have too many bars in town. But, you know, on that block, the only thing that can really make it is a bar. You know, maybe if we had a beautiful public space,
we've had restaurants that made it there for a long time.
Yeah,
on the east end of Clayton? I mean, maybe
a
few.
Yeah, it was right next to the Classic Center.
Sure,
it was so
but,
far down.
I mean, there haven't, I don't know. I
At
think
that
it's
far
been
corner,
bars,
but the meat of the block is, it's basically, that's the bar end of Athens, and You know, I know at least one business owner who said he'd consider converting one of his bars to, you know, coffee shop, cafe, something that might have some daytime hours if he felt like he could get that
pedestrian
traffic. And right. if there was some nicer cafe area that people might want to come and hang out there right. during the day.
Well, you have to be realistic in that our parking decks are mostly on the other side of, College Avenue that goes through Clayton.
But the courthouse parking
Well, sure,
is
but I mean, it's...
I know, I'm just saying,
It's a two-block walk from the College Avenue parking deck.
I totally agree. I mean, and like she said, Classic Center picks it up, and the courthouse is empty at night.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and you know, it's funny how people go to the Walmart and park, basically half a mile away from the door through a giant, searing, unshaded parking lot that they won't park around the corner downtown.
Right. That's a good description.
I always point to the Baltimore Orioles Stadium in Baltimore. How many parking spaces do you think the stadium that is larger, I think it's only 70,000, but anyway, than Sanford. And they have less than 100 parking spaces for that stadium. They create a situation in which people park afar, and this happens on our game days naturally now, and they walk through the city, they stop and have dinner somewhere, mm-hmm. they stop and shop or whatever. And that's what we need to do, is to start building networking instead of having just one lane that we're driving down Clayton.
Well, and here's really the problem, I think, is, you know, it's not just that we're rushing Clayton Street, it's that we're not looking at it holistically.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because we can't even talk about, you know, two-laning Clayton, because then we would have to two-lane Washington, and that's not, you know, a project that's coming up. And so we can't talk about that. And we have I'm sure I'm going to get an amen from Melissa on this, but we have a downtown master plan, you know, that has plans for Clayton Street in it. You know, they're not detailed engineering plans, but we have a vision for Clayton Street as it relates to the entire downtown.
Clayton Street was left out of the master plan because it was undergoing that redesign right. through Spilos at the time.
But what I'm saying is we have an idea of what we want the rest of downtown to look like, and we're not talking about Clayton Street in relation to everything else.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And the downtown master plan committee hasn't met in almost 2 years.
Well, this is what I lay in bed at night and just pray related to the master plan in Clayton Street, is that we will finally, this is the third time that we have put it on this Spilos. Our people have always supported it. It's always been never a question. And every single time we spend, we hold off and don't do anything, or we spend all the money underground. And there's a lot of underground work that can start now, you know, that we can go ahead and do.
But some of it, I think, has already been done, hasn't it?
Yeah,
on the first 2000.
I think TPW or Public Utilities did some of the underground work.
They did.
For
it's
this
the
current
stormwater
one,
drains, yeah. I themselves. Think, is the big work that's left to do underground.
And that's supposed
and that's
to,
a lot.
And that's why we need to know the width of the street, because that's the stormwater goes along the curb. We need to know where those curbs are going to be.
Right, yeah. right.
And that's going to supposedly get rid of a lot of that beer stench, which will be
well,
a huge plus.
Serving downtown and making it what we want everyone to be impressed by is going to take a lot more than streetscaping. It's going to take operational management, and we don't have that right now. We have been cheap all along, and it shows. We used to pressure wash those sidewalks on a regular basis.
Well, I think they are being pressure washed again.
Again, there but not a, on the ra- basis. It's never been on the basis.
Well, there was something about there was a federal law. There's something that, you know, if they pressure washed, they had to reclaim the water. You
yeah,
know,
right.
So
there
that
is.
Made it really
yeah.
difficult.
And stormwater may help with that.
I guess they have some equipment
that.
Now that can do that, so mm-hmm. they are pressure washing.
Well, and we could, you know, implement some green street strategies for some rain gardens to collect some of that runoff and filter it, you know, and get through those EPD requirements. I've spent some time in Massachusetts every summer, and Pittsfield, Massachusetts has the coolest little rain gardens all up and down its main drag, and all the water just funnels right into these little rain gardens with trees sticking out of them and all these flowers, and just sinks in through the dirt and the plants. And
green.
Mm-hmm.
The proportion of green has a huge impact on the number of people that use the space for relaxing and sit, you know, instead of just walking by as fast as they can.
I know you also wanted to touch on a few of the other T-Splos projects.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes your head spin. We've had multiple meetings about the timeline, the scheduling, the financing for T-Splos, and, you know, we don't get the money till June. We don't get our first check from the first quarter's tax collection until June, you know, because the state collects our taxes. So we gotta wait for them to work it out. And so, you know, there's a desire to get started on the projects now. You know, because some of these projects are ones that have been kicking around for a long time. And so the proposal is made to go ahead and borrow some of the money, borrow what would be the last quarter, the very last quarter's collection from, you know, years from now, borrow that 16.3 million or something like that, borrow that up front and get started right away. So that it looks like that's what we're going to be doing. And just kind of get moving. But there's a lot of design that goes into this stuff, you know, and that's a lot of the work that gets done on the front end. And so you might not see any.
Right. The state says it takes 7 years. The state says it takes 7 years to build a road. That's what they, you know, to build, you know, because they have to design, they have to buy the property, all of this stuff. They say 7 years.
Yeah.
And we built Barnett Shoals that comes off of Lexington there. We built that ourselves in less than 2.5.
Well, we do have some property acquisition between the Firefly and the Greenway, and we are going to have to talk about. Yeah, roundabout. I mean, we may have to face, you know, talking about eminent domain condemnation to get a hold of some of these properties to assure that these transportation networks can be connected.
Yeah. We need to do
that's,
that.
I mean, that's something that the local government's always shied away from.
Yeah.
I can't think of any time that since I've been here that y'all have used eminent domain.
Yeah, well, the mayor is definitely completely opposed to using eminent domain for the Greenway at all.
But it's there for a reason. Sometimes you have to. I mean, you can't let, you know, a handful of property owners put a halt to, you know, an important project that's going to benefit thousands
of people. That's happening down in River Bend near that bridge there. That'll be to have to cross the road, across the river again, because a couple of people think that people walking by, and they don't own the land. It's public domain, but they don't want it walking by their property. That to me is it's so ignorant, because we have so many examples throughout our nation of how positive this is how it raises your property, and it makes your property safer because you have eyes on your property.
Yeah, and it's absurd to think that someone is going to come along on their bike and break into your house and take your TV and
on their
do
bike.
What with it on their bike, you know, and ride off with it.
But it's the reason they don't have a sidewalk on Millage Circle is because those people thought somebody might case their place if they walked down their street, which most of the houses you can't see from the street. But anyway, but that's an example of the kind of really, I think, elitism that sometimes stands in the way of excellent public projects.
So what are the first ones going to be? They're going to be the Clayton Street, the roundabout at Whitehall and Millage, and then was it West Broad that y'all are bonding out to?
No, but we did have a meeting. Heather Benham and I met with the transportation director, Drew Raisler, about West Broad to talk about priorities for West Broad. You know, we've got this pot of $4 million that's just broadly dedicated to the West Broad neighborhoods within that West Broad feasibility study, so the Hancock and the Rock Springs neighborhoods. Unfortunately, what we found out is it can't be applied to the intersection, the horrid intersection at Hancock, and because that's a GDOT project.
Hancock and what?
Hancock and West Broad, and where Minor Street comes in, and Glen Haven kind of scoots over. I mean,
I love that intersection.
We can't even work with GDOT or the.
Well, I mean, that's going to be.
I know that's always another ordeal.
Yeah. But that, you know, so that's outside the scope of West Broad money.
I think that sounds like my favorite intersection. I understand why that's a problem. I mean, I never have had any problem at
that intersection. What we're waiting on in West Broad is for the bike master plan, the bike ped master plan to be done, because apparently that is going to be overlaid with those neighborhoods to find out what projects were identified in the bike ped master plan. My concern and Heather's concern was we need public input on the front end because, you know, a lot of folks in those neighborhoods are not necessarily concerned about the bike ped master plan. They're more concerned about lighting in their neighborhoods, and they are definitely concerned about speeding. And those streets do not meet the speed They meet the traffic but not the speed thresholds for our traffic calming program. And so we can't get speed bumps on them. And I mean, I remember George Maxwell railing from behind the rail about speeding on Evans Street. I bring it up repeatedly, and unless the
mayor... It's all downhill is one of the things.
Well, Waddell and Henderson are downhill, and then Evans and Kalima
It's a straight shot, you know.
It really, yeah. And it is dangerous. And it's got the boys' club right there.
Yeah, and that's the big issue on Evans Street.
Well, I tell you, speed bumps, to me, are not the solution. I will never recommend a speed bump, but I will recommend traffic calming that's attractive. We're getting ready to plow through that neighborhood with a sidewalk, and so far we've cut down three huge, old, beautiful trees to put our sidewalk in that neighborhood. And so, you know, I think that we ought to be looking at that neighborhood the same way we look at other neighborhoods and appreciating its beauty instead of making it ugly. And speed bumps are not, they're not going to slow it down as much as you know, narrowing the street in some places, putting a sidewalk.
Well, the street is so narrow. I mean, most of those streets are below the standard width, and that's what makes even a speed that's below the threshold so dangerous. People are going 30 miles an hour down a street that's, you know, 18 miles wide where the houses are right up on the curb.
Right. And the people are parking on that street because there's so much. Look at the child care that's being picked up from H.T. Edwards. Mm-hmm. That just blocks that whole area off in the afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been over there. At 6 o'clock when pickup from Boys and Girls Club, it is a nightmare.
It's not just the 6 o'clock. It's the 3 o'clock from the child care. I mean, from the pre-K or whatever. But they are lined up all the way down. I mean, it's just... there's a lot going on there. It ought to be recognized as what it is. We need to start creating areas that are pedestrian and guiding people away from them, you know. Evans might need to be one way. God forbid. I know that's going to upset some people. But one way is a great way of slowing things down. If it were one way coming up, you know, people don't need to cut over from Broad to Baxter on Evans, you know, they could do it other places. Magnolia is what we're moving into that, and it's the same. It's got houses right up next to
it. And I think I was mixing up Evans with Magnolia earlier, but Magnolia, I think, is a pretty similar situation.
Yeah, well, Magnolia's getting a sidewalk. That's the good news.
Right.
There's the sidewalk.
And they need one because there are people in the street, and it's a narrow street, and it's really almost too narrow for two cars to even pass each other.
In the very foreseeable future.
That's what they're cutting down trees to put in. But Magnolia has been on the number one priority for sidewalks for almost 30 years. And the reason it was never done was because politically they didn't want to make some of the constant voters mad.
I recall there being an issue with people not wanting a sidewalk because they didn't want that chunk of their yard taken away on Magnolia. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, it's necessary when you don't have, unless you want to narrow your street.
All right. We are out of time. I do want to thank my guests, Blake Odd, Gwen O'Looney, and Commissioner Melissa Link. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, or WXAG. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.